Well, good evening again. And let me first just reiterate the welcome from the start of the service, particularly if you're a visitor here, whether you're here for the first time or whether you've come along with family or friends, you're very welcome, as of course is everybody who comes regularly as well. Thank you for being with us this evening, perhaps at the end of a busy week or even a busy weekend. I hope this will be a chance to enjoy a period of peace and quietness this evening for perhaps a brief hour. So on behalf of Alma Church, I want to wish you a very happy Christmas. And whatever your circumstances, I just pray that you'll be able to take away something of this sense of peace and quietness this evening, and that will also remain with you throughout 2019. Now, in our recent sermon series here, we've been focusing on some of the different people in the Christmas story. And one of the many things that has struck me about that is there's a common theme amongst these people as we read the Christmas story, and that is that they all wanted to actually meet with Jesus. Just knowing about Jesus was not enough in itself. Something about the birth of Jesus made them want to go and see him, often at considerable inconvenience to themselves, to see this thing that had happened, the birth of a baby. In some respects, not that exceptional. There must have been some sense of something special going on here, that they would receive something by doing this, that there was something to be gained by being in the tangible presence of this child, Jesus. Firstly, we heard about the shepherds. Now, it wasn't actually at all convenient for them to go in the middle of the night, presumably leaving their flocks behind them. In the ancient world, shepherds used to sleep across the entrance of their sheep pens to protect their sheep from wild animals, lions and wolves and so on. They could have waited until morning. They could just have stayed there discussing the amazing sight that they'd seen in the night. They could have reasoned that it wasn't the right time to go, that the morning would have been much more convenient. But they went immediately, leaving their flocks, actually leaving their very livelihoods at risk. I wonder what they were looking for. You may also know that in the ancient Israel, shepherds were also pretty much at the bottom of the rung as far as society was concerned. They were just really above petty criminals. They were pretty rough types. I guess you had to be a pretty rough character if you were going to defend your flock against wild animals. We don't tend to emphasize that too much in the Christmas story, do we? It's interesting to consider, actually, that the first people that God announced the birth of Jesus to were these people, the lowest in their society. Now, the angel told them that the good news that he brought with it came with a promise of great joy that would be for all the people, presumably even including lowly shepherds. And that peace was also for all people to whom God favoured. Perhaps the angels knew that what the shepherds really longed for was joy and acceptance, peace and God's favour and blessing. Perhaps that's what the shepherds went to find, not just to see a baby or to hear about joy and peace, but actually to receive it from the Saviour who has been born today. Shortly after Jesus was born, a few days later in fact, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to have him dedicated. That was a bit like a christening or a baptism service these days. And they met two very elderly people there, first Simeon and then Anna. Now, they weren't in our readings, and you can read about them in Luke's Gospel immediately after the story of the shepherds. And these two people were, if you like, the faithful, law-abiding, respectable people, perhaps at the other end of the social scale from the shepherds. But they were genuine believers, and they had known and trusted God for many years. They had a very strong sense of God's love for the world. Now, they weren't looking specifically for Jesus. They didn't know what to expect or what they were looking for. But they knew that God had a plan to save the world. And Simeon in particular believed that God would reveal that plan to him before he died. So on the day, the very day that Mary and Joseph and Jesus visited the temple, Simeon felt compelled to go there. And as soon as he saw Jesus, he knew that God had answered his prayer. That was the answer to his prayer. And when Jesus came into the presence of Anna, who was a prophetess who spent nearly all of her time in the temple, she also recognized the significance of this eight-day-old baby, and she praised God because of him. So both of these elderly believers knew God well. They devoted their whole lives to knowing God. But even for them, perhaps especially for them, there was something special about actually seeing Jesus in person and being with him, something which went beyond knowledge alone, the knowledge that God had already given them for many years in their long years of service with him. And lastly, we read about the Magi, or the wise men from the East. Now, they were scholars, perhaps of more significance to the Jews. They were actually foreigners. They must have been very confident of their astronomical studies, or they wouldn't have travelled so far. Dare I mention, I'm sure you're aware, that there's been a lot of disruption at Gatwick this week. But their journey would have taken far longer than the 2 days which many people have unfortunately suffered this week. It would have been much less certain, and it would have been much less convenient. In fact, they probably had to set out on their journey before Jesus was born. But since they were so confident of their calculations and their deductions, why did they actually go? It wasn't for confirmation of their calculations. The planets move in very well-known orbits. They knew it was true, because when they arrived, they didn't ask if a king had been born. They asked where the king had been born. And furthermore, they brought presents which were suitable for Jesus, even though they had never met him or his parents. So these wise men were seekers after the truth. They were searching for something, perhaps a deeper meaning to life, or to a more complete understanding of that truth. They found a king in baby Jesus, but not in a palace, in a humble stable. Clearly they were satisfied. These non-Jew foreigners worshipped Jesus and gave him the treasures that they had brought. Their quest was complete. They found the full truth in Jesus, and then they went back home. Now, I don't know why you've come this evening. It may just have been for the mulled wine and the mince pies, which we had later. Perhaps it was even for the warmth and shelter for an hour, and you're very welcome to all of that, if that's so. And you could, after all, watch a service like this on the television, probably tomorrow evening. So something makes us want to be present here in person. We are, in fact, following in the footsteps of the Christmas people, and many people down the ages. The people in our story all encountered Jesus in person. To the shepherds, he was the saviour and a bringer of joy and peace. To Simeon and Anna, he was the fulfilment of God's promises, a light in the darkness, as we heard in that reading from Isaiah, and a means of redemption and salvation for all people. To the wise men, he brought meaning and truth. I'm amazed every time I think about the Christmas story in the way that God speaks to and identifies so many different people and circumstances through it. Think about the young couple having to make a long journey at the start of their married life together and lacking shelter on arrival. And you don't need great insight to know that 70 miles on a donkey when you're 9 months pregnant is quite a trial. And then you have Joseph, the new husband, worrying about how he's going to provide and care for his wife and new baby. And then there are the lowly, unschooled, perhaps despised shepherds, the faithful, respectable folk, the foreigners, the scholarly astronomer scientists, let's call them, and the refugees. Because actually, if you read on in Matthew's Gospel, you will hear that Mary, Joseph, and Jesus very shortly afterwards had to flee very real persecution. God knows about our worries, our trials, and our pains, and he has a message of joy and peace, acceptance and blessing for all of us. So whether we're male or female, whatever our age, whether we're a child or a pensioner, whatever our social class, whatever our intellect, whatever our nationality or ethnicity. We are all accepted, and we can share something of that experience too in the person of Jesus. But we do need to come to Jesus, as those visitors did long ago, and as we have done this evening. Whatever it is that we're searching for, God knows what we need and will meet us in our longings and our hopes. I'm going to finish with a short prayer, which I hope will tie many of these themes together. So let's pray. Christ, heralded by the angels, open our eyes to your presence. Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, teach us obedience to your word. Christ, born in a stable, give hope to the homeless. Christ, visited by the shepherds, strengthen all who work. Christ, adored by the wise men, guide all politicians and governments. Christ, exiled in Egypt, give comfort to all refugees. May we see Christ in others, be Christ to others, that we may dwell in him and he in us. Amen. If you would like to talk about anything that has been said or done this evening, or been prompted to think about anything, or if you would like someone to pray with you about any situation, then please speak to me afterwards and I'll find someone to do that with you. But now, like the angels, we're going to conclude our service in worship as we sing to God our final carol.